Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Meatloaf Monday, hour number three. Meatloaf Monday. You know what? I think I need a sound effect. Let's go ahead and play it. Meatloaf Monday.
I think I'll try the meatloaf sandwich.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, meatloaf.
What is it? I'm only asking in case I have to describe it later to a doctor.
Look, it's nutritious. It's delicious.
Made out of meat. Add ketchup if you want. I couldn't care less.
Good. That's good stuff. All right, Meatloaf Monday, third hour, ruffians. Listen, let's talk about some stuff here. I got to give you a couple of quick news stories that have just broken here, like while we're on the air. First of all, breaking the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which, by the way, for those who don't know, the Ninth Circuit, which is out west, California, Oregon, Washington State, I believe, the Ninth Circuit is notoriously liberal. It is hard to get anything conservative out of the Ninth Circuit. That's why when liberals lose at the Ninth Circuit, they freak out because they're like, wait a minute, what just happened? So we got a breaking news story. The Ninth Circuit just issued an order saying that contrary to a lower court's injunction, that President Trump can deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon. Can I have some applause for that, please? That is huge. Said, we conclude that it is likely that the president lawfully exercised his statutory authority under 10 U.S.C. section 12406. We thus conclude that defendants are likely to succeed on the merits of their appeal. The president has broad discretion to determine when and where to deploy the guard. That does not make him a king. It makes him constitutionally bound. All right, so that's a huge story, and I think it could have implications in other places. So if one of the more liberal circuits has now said the president does have the Trump administration does have the right to deploy the National Guard to engage the issue of civil unrest in communities, then you have to wonder, okay, so what about Chicago? Are we going to see that? What about San Francisco, where we're already told they're going next? What about Montgomery, Alabama? You have to wonder.
Memphis.
So end result is this. We just got a good ruling out of the Ninth Circuit. President Trump does have authority to deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon, and rightfully so, because Portland is a freaking mess. It is absolutely anarchy in some parts of downtown Portland. So there's that one. Other breaking story that I don't know much about, except that I've, you know, one of the vendors that does some things for Right Side, I'll just tell you right now, said, I'm sorry, we can't get that done today because all of our cloud-based systems are down. I'm like, what does that even mean? Cloud-based systems, why? What's that? Okay, this is apparently a big deal. I mean, I know what cloud-based systems are. I'm sorry, let me rephrase. I didn't know why it would apply to me. Well, I'm looking right now on the screen. Breaking story is Amazon, which is one of the larger hosts of cloud-based apps. Its systems went down today, which caused massive outages across all kinds of business and service and even social media apps left and right. They say they are largely back online. But if you were a business that was using a cloud-based app or cloud-based system of some kind, then you may have experienced an outage today. And that's a breaking story. By the way, that's a clear indication of the fact that the world is moving. I mean, paper and pen is just, I get it. It's archaic. But when you see a massive outage like this, you realize how reliant we are upon technology. And then there was one more story that while I was doing those two, JP was looking up. The Atlanta airport had a situation today. What's the scoop on that, JP?
So a man named Billy Joe Cagle was arrested at the Atlanta airport today because apparently he went on a live stream and said that he was going to the airport to shoot it up.
What?
And his family actually saw the live stream and alerted the Cartersville police and said that he wasn't himself armed when he was in the airport and got arrested, but he had an AR-15 in his car. And apparently, when he was in the airport, he was very interested in a very backed up line in a TSA check-in area. So they are calling this a tragedy averted. So
basically, somebody saw something and said something.
Pretty much, yep. Someone in his family saw the live stream and alerted the police.
You know what's interesting too is the family knew better than to take it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I realize that there are times when people say things off color. They say things that are like, there's no room for that kind of comment, no matter what. There really isn't. But this family apparently saw that and realized more. They knew more about him than to underestimate it.
Yeah, and the Carswell police have said that he was a very mentally challenged individual and had a weapon, and that combination is never good. So Wow. Actually, that was the Atlanta mayor that said that, Andre
All
Dickens.
Right. Well, good on the police and the family for making sure this was caught before it became a thing. Glad to hear it. What do we know about him? What was his motivation? Do we have any idea?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
Nothing yet.
Okay. Wow. All right. Listen, we'll keep tabs on that. And other breaking news as it comes up, we'll bring it up. I want to jump into. I'm going to call it audible. All right. We took quite a bit of time on the TDS's Real Dipper, which is great because we had a ton of audience participation on it. But I want to jump into this last Dipper of the day, Gen Z Rising. Okay. Let's talk about this for a minute. Every generation has its moment, right? Every generation has its moment when it comes into its own and it begins to be the dominant force in society. It just happens. Age and time take care of things, right? But I will tell you right now, me personally, I am, depending upon how you look at the dates, I am either a last-minute baby boomer or I'm a very early Gen Xer, me personally. I was born in 1960, but early enough, I'm born in March of 65. Do the math. Doing March of 65. So I am barely into what is often known as the Gen X, but I'm also pretty much in the straggle end of the baby boomers. Great generations. Great, awesome generations. They are known for, are you ready for this? They're independent, tech adaptable, and skepticism, but they also prefer authentic brand messaging. I get it. I agree with all that. But as a baby boomer, I would have a strong work ethic, traditional values, and significant buying power. I want to be both. I'm going to call myself a Gen X boomer.
You have every right to do that, I guess.
Thank you very much. All right, now there's Gen Z. Let's talk about the generation that JP's a part of. All right, so the generation known as Gen Z, and I've got this first article, by the way. You'll hear some trends in this. I pulled this off of a group called eMarketer. This is a group that talks about how best to address your products and how to reach different demographics. eMarketer.com has a piece that came out earlier this year, and it's called Gen Z, What Marketers Need to Know About This Generation. So it's fact-based, but it's also slanted towards marketing. But here you go. Gen Z, born between 97 and 2012, they are known as the first truly digital native demographic. In other words, they basically grew up not knowing a time without smartphones.
Yep.
Gen Z tends to spend over 6 hours daily on their phones if you add it all up. Gen Z, it says, expects what they call seamless tech integration as the baseline, meaning we don't expect interruptions, we don't expect to have to reboot, we don't expect to have to go outside of our current app, we don't expect to go find it somewhere else. We expect when we log on to that thing we like, we'll find what we want, and it should be seamless. They don't distinguish between online and offline experiences too often, but it's all to them just life. So if somebody said it on social media, it's as if they said it to you.
Yep. That all tracks. Yep.
Okay. They are also, by the way, roughly 20% of the current U.S. population. So 20% of the U.S. now is born between the years of 97 and 2012. And that equates to roughly 69.3 million people.
Wow.
All right. So this is a big demographic.
And I'm in the earlier sect of that. I'm 2003. So.
Okay. All right, so you're an early to midland Gen Zer.
Yeah, early mid, yeah.
All right. It also says, these are just fact-based things, Gen Z consumes media differently than anybody else before them. Nearly all watch digital video.
1,000%.
Okay, which is funny to me because I feel like because of Right Side, because of my time in studio and because of my time growing a small media company here, that I've become versed in things that you guys live with as a matter of course.
Yeah. I mean, my generation is not turning on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. We're watching, you know, streamers. We're watching podcasts and, you know, all stuff on digital without the commercial breaks. I mean, there's ads inserted from the creator. But I mean, we're not turning on, we're not watching cable news, we're not listening to talk radio. It's podcast and digital news, 100%.
My kids talked to us at Christmas, and we haven't done it yet. Or maybe it's over the summer. Dad, why are you guys still paying for cable TV?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, because I want to watch the news. Dad, you can get YouTube TV for like a tenth of the price and get all your channels. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then it dawned on me, we do that here in the studio.
We do.
Holy crap. All right. So basically, I am, my generation, I'm a slave to a plugged in cable. You guys are a fully digital. We know. And by the way, I would say to Gen Z does not react well to not having good connectivity. Would you say that's true?
I'd rather have no connectivity than slow connectivity. I would say that. Yeah. If it's on, then I want it to work. Yeah.
All right. A few more fact-based things before we get into the meat of where we're headed. And we'll have to take a break first. But Gen Z, this is what it says, is expected to outnumber millennials on Instagram like vastly, because this is where they live. They live on the social media apps. TikTok is still dominant for short form, is what it says. Instagram is essential for direct messaging and stories. YouTube is where they all find long-form content and live streaming.
Yep.
All right. Snapchat is considered to be an authentic person-to-person conversation or sharing.
I feel like my group, like the earlier Gen Z, has outgrown Snapchat. But okay. I think probably the younger Gen Zers probably still use Snapchat a lot.
Here's the thing. Adding all that up, it says in this thing for marketing purposes, but I think it's also like life. It says what sets Gen Z apart is how they use all these platforms for actual discovery. It says the majority use their social media and YouTube to actually find new products and services and information, making these channels their critical touch points for where they find the brands they want to buy. Does that sound right?
I do. I mean, I bought my sister her Christmas gift off TikTok shop last year, so yes.
Stop it.
And it was good.
Well, see, my son will come in wearing a shirt and I'll go, that's cool, where'd you get that? From so-and-so. I never heard of that brand. Dad, you got to look online once in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's not in a brick and mortar store. See, I'm all right. I'm a baby boomer. You are also considered to be the generation that is the first truly mobile payment generation, meaning you often use your smartphones and other devices to actually make payments rather than carrying money in a wallet.
I don't remember the last time I had cash in my wallet. I do Apple Pay mostly, yeah.
I carry cash for emergencies now, but I understand. It also felt really naked when I began to move away from cash. Like, is this car going
to
work?
But also, that's not a good trend, I don't think, to move towards digital than cash. But that's just kind of where we are.
All right. So we set the tone. We're going to take a break. We set the tone. Gen Z. Who are they? You heard some. Truly tech. Truly online. They've been hardwired from birth. And yet they are also a huge piece, 20% of our population, and they're old enough to vote. Let's talk about what that means. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I'll tell you who else might save the world is Gen Z. I will go ahead and be the graybeard in the room right now and say that I take heart when I see, like, for instance, you, JP, when I see my own kids who grew up strong and love the Lord and are conservative, and I feel like the next generation has actually got a lot of promise. I don't feel like I got to stay. You know what bugs me is when I see people like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, even as a Republican, who won't leave office because it's like they don't trust that the next generation might have somebody good who can come along and run the show.
Well, they think they're God.
Well, they do that.
That's too. The basis of why, yeah.
But that being said, there's a real trend right now that I like. According to some of what I'm reading, it's not just like me sitting in studio with you and going, oh, good, there's a young conservative. I won't say you're unique in all the world because apparently there's more of you.
Yeah, there is. I can tell you that.
All right, so I got a piece. I got several here. Daily Signal had a piece that came out actually yesterday. What Democrats are missing in trying to recapture young people, and it points out that 4 years ago, it says you would not have seen this many young people psyched about doing voting in the office because the midterms are coming up. But a lot of things have changed, it says, including some profound cultural changes. Things like Trump getting U.S. Steel saved in some places that saved jobs. Others was the actually Charlie Kirk's murder. And he talks about this one student who said, the death of Charlie Kirk is something that we look at as being a galvanizing moment.
Oh, for sure. Watershed moment. I think that is what kind of woke up a lot of my generation. My generation, I feel like, was getting a lot more, you know, clued in to what was going on politically. But I think that was kind of like a whoa and opened our eyes and said, well, we have no choice but to get engaged because people like Charlie Kirk are literally getting shot because of what they believe. So I think it just kind of woke up my generation to the importance of what we're living in.
Well, and I mean, I've known you all your life, but you and I have been working together side by side now for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And after Charlie Kirk's shooting was the first time you looked at me and said, I'd like to do the monologue tomorrow.
Yep.
And that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real indication to me that it was a pretty powerful moment for you.
It was, for sure. Shook me up.
But so me and you talking right now, you think that was also significant for your generation?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I saw friends of mine that I knew were conservative or at least not liberal, but they kind of were like, I don't like to get involved in politics. I don't like to talk about politics. Let's just hang out, you know. I saw them after that just kind of like, this is more than just politics. This is something deeper going on.
Was it a call to action, though, as much as anything? Was it truly a turning point? Like, people are like, I'm now getting involved.
Yes. I mean, we saw the numbers, like hundreds of thousands of new TPUSA chapters, you know, being applied to at high schools, colleges. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I think it was a turning point, ironically, yeah.
This article in Daily Signal talks about how Democrats are doing everything they can to try and recoup, but they're losing your generation in many ways. And it says things like, as California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, tries to play video games and talk about Fortnite, and Snoop Dogg tries to win back young people, they're missing the fact that Trump didn't win young people by doing any of those things. He just won them over with a healthy dose of what Vice President, along with J.D. Vance, by telling them that what... How does it say it here? Seeing that what they wanted to know was that their place was going to be okay. Basically gave them assurances and expressed confidence in who they are. As opposed to trying to identify and be buddies. All right, we come back. It's not just that, though. It's not just politics. It's not just whether or not the left is doing it well or the right's got a better message. It's also about what's happening within that generation. I've got articles that say that what we're watching is a great awakening, and it's coming out of Gen Z. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Yes, indeed, y'all, the radio footprint is big. We got a lot of people listening to radio in places like Chattanooga, Huntsville, down yonder in Auburn, and all around the region. And then, oh, by the way, there's a ton of y'all that live stream the show. Thank you very much for that. Going to places like YouTube and X and Rumble and Facebook. And, oh, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org. Check that out. But then there's a ton of y'all that podcast the show after the fact, too. Listen, bottom line is this. Wherever you catch this show, thank you very much for doing so. You're the reason why we get on the mic every day. You're the reason why this show even exists. So you're much appreciated. JP, before we get back to the topic, I got to tell you, pretty funny here. Congressman Greg Stube, who is a congressman from Florida, he just posted a meme. So Florida is now in the coaching search.
Yeah,
and he's got a meme picture of Marco Rubio on the sidelines wearing a Gator shirt and a headset coaching. He says, all he says is, "Hear me out."
Yeah. Well, I saw somebody some troll account tweeted that Florida is highly interested in going after Nick Saban for his new coaching position, and then Ron DeSantis retweeted it and said, "Yeah, and I'm highly interested in winning the lottery."
I'm pretty sure Ms. Terry would have a thing to say about that.
Yeah, just a thing to say. Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to this Gen Z thing. So, Gen Z, the generation that was born between the years of 1997 and 2012, the truly first digital generation. So far, nothing I've said has offended you. So apparently, we're tracking now.
Yeah, it's all correct.
Okay. Here's the other thing. Right now, I got two articles. One came from Deseret. One came from just a local Ion Jacksonville down. But Ion Jacksonville actually wrote an opinion piece about a New York Times article that came out. New York Times was a little bit alarmist. New York Times is concerned about why so many Gen Zers are being drawn to conservative Christianity.
Oh, God forbid.
that can't happen.
Yeah.
So the piece from, let's see, which one I want first? Politics? I'll do faith. So The piece from the New York Times was actually titled "Why So Many Gen Zers Are Drawn to Conservative Christianity," and it says, in part, it said, "The aftermath of COVID, a sizable minority of Gen Zers began to find their answers in conservative Christianity, fueling both a religious and political revival among young Americans. They bring a new attitude to the combination of faith and politics, and many see politics as also a matter of spiritual warfare against demonic forces."
Yes.
So you agree with that?
100%, yes. And I think, like I said last segment, I think instances like the Charlie Kirk thing are something that makes our generation realize that. Like, it's not just... it's not just talking about tax policy and we disagree on this or that. The amount of, you know, trans ideology and just woke ideology across the board, abortion being so, you know, rampant and the younger generations, I think it's caused the conservatives of my generation to think this is a lot more than politics. It is spiritual, 100%.
Okay. And it even says on here, apparently the author, who was rather alarmed by this, the piece I've got from Ion Jacksonville was making fun of the author for saying these things in an alarmist sense, right? Mm-hmm. But that author for the New York Times said, "Many of these young Christians have now turned to conservative politics, a near seamless mix of Christian faith and the MAGA message."
Christian nationalism.
That's what it sounds like. But, I mean, does that feel like... well, I tell you what, let me give you a description. It says here, right now, within your generation, it says young male churchgoers are outpacing young female churchgoers in weekly attendance. Does that sound right?
It does, unfortunately, yeah. Well, unfortunately, from the sense of, I do think the female population of Gen Z is still really into the woke. But the I'd say male Gen Z, yeah, I think that tracks.
So you think male Gen Z is on the rise quicker?
I think it is on quicker for sure. I mean, obviously not all the female population of Gen Z is woke, but I do think the male population of Gen Z is much quicker for coming to the church. Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's definitely a liberal side to Gen Z also.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
And it's a lot more polarized than I think earlier or other generations.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. More polarized. And do you feel like they are like, all right, when you see a Gen Z lib, like when I, all right, so when I picture you, you seem to have a hopeful worldview. Like your conservative Christian ideology appears to me to have a hope for as opposed to a woe is me.
Yes.
All right. What do you see in Gen Z lib? Are they hope for or are they woe is me?
Oh, very much woe is me.
Victimhood.
Everything's against me. Victimhood. And that is why they resort to, you know, drugs, resort to transgenderism. Like, the non-binary pronoun thing is like them trying to grab a sense of control, because I've seen it firsthand of they're sad and they are in a really bad place. So that is something I can control. I can control what you call me, you know, pronoun wise. I can change my name. I can change my my gender, which you really can't. And I think that is just a sign of they're struggling. But my optimism is from the fact that I think the tide is turning big time.
Okay.
Like, my generation in 2020, a lot different than what it looks like now. I think right now it's a lot more hopeful and people come into their senses.
On the thing about males, you know, kind of grabbing hold of conservative Christianity at a faster rate than perhaps females of your generation, it says this. Well, first of all, it does say in parentheses, "Fear not, the girls will follow."
Yeah, I think they're coming along.
Okay. But then it says, "It reflects a return to a more muscular, masculine Christianity, pushing aside the effeminized, hippy-dippy version from the 60s and 70s.
Big time, yes.
You think?
Well, and...
like it's cool to be a guy again?
I think for sure. But also, the rise in Catholicism and Orthodoxy in my generation is... huge. And I think the reason for that is you talked about we're the first digital generation,
right?
I think all the older generations on the left, they see this, the woke ideology, as like a fad, and we're not going to win an election unless we get on board. And hey guys, I play Fortnite, that's cool. Hey, I think that men should marry men, I think men can have babies, yeah. But my generation that grew up with that has been just bombarded with it, and I think we're scarred to a certain extent because we were just indoctrinated to a certain extent through the digital generation. And I think we're like, no, actually, this is not fulfilling and this is not good, actually. And we want to go back to what is traditional, what is good, and what is true. And I think that's why, you know, the Catholic and Orthodox Church, that thousands of years old, it's based like in truth and it's survived the test of time. Charlie Kirk talked about this a lot, about why they're going back to the Catholic Church, because it's not, you know, the a lot of Protestant, I mean, I'm Protestant, but a lot of the Protestant church is into the woke, you know, stuff as well. The Catholic Church, I mean, we see some, the Pope has said some stuff, but across the board, it is traditional, it is true, and it's based in what has been true for thousands of years.
Okay, so let me ask you about that, though, because one of the articles, and I've forgotten where it was in my place here, talked about the rise of non-denominational evangelical churches, but they're very digitally tuned. Yeah. So that's also been what is considered to be, which is not necessarily Catholicism, but what it's saying is it like reached your generation where they are, as opposed to, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but all right. I also think we have enough, like my generation is like, I just need a break from the, I need a break from the digital. I need to go back to the true traditional.
Something that's rooted.
Something that is rooted. And I mean, there is a rise lately, a trend of Gen Zers getting Blackberries to take like a 3-month break from digital, you know. So
I miss my BlackBerry.
But like, I think that is just like, we're tired of it. We're tired of being exposed to digital. We need a break, and we just go back to what is true. So
okay, let's talk about the politics side. All right, because in my opinion, I did the faith piece first, because in my opinion, if your faith is truly rooted, if it's because technically your faith is supposed to be at the core of who you are, and when you vote, when you do things, when you go places, it goes with you. It's one of those things, if they stripped everything else away, it's still supposed to be there. So that being said, it should be going with you in your politics. All right, we're watching right now. I've got a piece here from Deseret. It says, this came out 2 days ago. It says, overall, Gen Z voter turnout actually declined slightly in 2024. Voter participation among the youngest group dropped to 47%, where it had been 50%. So, but that's still a pretty high turnout for your population base.
Yeah.
And it says, though, that among those who did vote, Trump captured at least half the under 20 vote across all racial and gender groups, with the sole exception being women of color, who apparently turned out for Kamala Harris in higher numbers. But here's the thing. When you look at it, and Trump secured half of the Gen Z vote, just in the election prior to that, Biden had won the Gen Z vote by 25 points. In other words, that's a massive demographic swing.
Yeah.
It says it's the strongest performance for a Republican among young voters since back in 2008, which has been driven largely by young white men, according to several studies. How do you feel about that?
I think, well, very much true. And I think a big part of it is, too, I mean, I talked about the faith-based aspect of it, but in the politics realm, I think a big part of it is the economic point of view. From my generation is struggling to even own a home. Like, the American dream is starting to slip from our fingers, my generation across the board feels like. And I think Trump brought some sort of hope to that we're going to turn things around. You will be able to own a home. You will be able to have the American dream. And you will be able to, you know, have what your grandparents and your parents had. And whether you believe he's actually, holding that promise or not, regardless, I think that messaging is what was one of the key factors that brought my generation to vote Republican. But also, you talked about the videos of, the politicians, the Democrat politicians getting on Fortnite, playing Madden, AOC and Tim Walz playing Madden. Like, that's going to get the male vote. Like, no, actually, like, just being real and authentic, I think, appeals more to my generation than acting like, oh, I'm cool, guys. You know, I think she, they pronouns is cool. Like, that's a turnoff. The being authentic, and Trump going on Joe Rogan, Trump going on, Theo Vaughn, J.D. Vance, I believe, went on Sean Ryan. Actually, both Trump and J.D. Vance went on Sean Ryan. That is where those are the real, shows. When Kamala's going on Call Her Daddy, and it's like, okay, well, that maybe appeals to a very fringe part of the female Gen Z, but it's not going to get the job done.
So here's an interesting piece, and I think I've said it on the show before, but not in this context, is, the Apostle Paul in, Philippians? Anyway, Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all people that I might win some all the more. And what he was not saying was, I'm changing my message everywhere. What he's saying was, I am making sure that I identify with my audience so they understand what I'm saying. But he never changed the story. The gospel was still the gospel. It just was. But if he was with the Greeks, he spoke Greek. If he was, you know, if he was in Rome, he spoke to the Romans. And if he was in, you know, if he could speak Hebrew, he knew how to speak not only the language, but he also knew the culture. And he didn't try to tell them to be like him. I mean, he did, but he didn't in terms of his faith. But he didn't tell them to abandon how they ate, how they acted, how they grew up. He went where they were. And he gave them the same message in a way they could understand. And I hear what you're saying is it sounds like this last election, you guys were given a message that resonated. And it wasn't somebody trying to pretend. It was somebody saying, I'm coming over here to you. I'll sit on Joe Rogan. I'll sit over here with you. I'll put it in places where you can hear it. And then, oh, by the way, it's still the same message, but it's where you can hear it.
Yeah, I think that's all correct. And like I said, this is why I'm optimistic, because I think the tide is turning tremendously in the Gen Z generation. That, like, the more there's more of us than there are of them. Although the liberal Gen Z is very polarized and very liberal, I think the conservative Gen Z is very conservative and very traditional. And they're, I think we're going to outnumber.
And
they
appear
others.
To be very motivated.
Yes, yes.
I like it. By golly. All right, listen, we're going to take some text messages and phone calls. When we get back, we're taking the last break of the day here on a Meatloaf Monday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.